The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and may or may not be shared with the staff and management of this network.
Ghostly Talk!
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on September 6th, 2009.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Thank you, Bonnie. Tonight we honor and discuss the tragedy of 9/11.
Yes.
We talk severe visibility around the tragedy of 9/11 with Paul Cross. Then Dylan Avery, writer and director of the Loose Change series. We had him on a couple years ago. He's going to join us later and talk about some of the new stuff that they've been working on. One thing to say to start this show off.
What's that?
Where the hell is my apple brown Betty, Amber?
It's apple crisp, and it is setting up in the oven. You can have it when you're done with the show.
Oh, I'm going to have it before then.
I want to have it
Bonnie
during
can
the
have
show.
It before.
I want to rub it in the listener's face.
No. We can all have it on the next break.
That would be kind of sticky.
What's that? I didn't say rub it all over each other.
You rubbed it in their faces.
How did would the listeners like us to rub it on each other and then eat it?
Ew.
I need it off,
guys.
I'm going
to get a little sexy here during the show with apple. What is it? Apple crisp? Apple brown Betty crisp? What's the name of it, Amber?
Just apple crisp.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm sorry. This is Scott L. and the girls.
Yes.
Scott L. and the girls again tonight. But you know what? I'm totally wrong on that because we do have our co-host, our illustrious co-host, Doug.
Yay,
he is on
Dougie.
The line. Doug, are you there?
Yay. Yes, I am here. And, of course, I am mobile. I was supposed to be doing the show live from New Orleans, Louisiana, one of the three most haunted cities in the United States. Instead, I am on my way home. Not for the same reason as last year. Last year, I came home from New Orleans early because we were kicked out of New Orleans. And but this year, we left of our own accord.
And why is that?
Well, here's the thing about New Orleans. First of all, it's really haunted. I mean, there's like, I'm sure there's ghosts everywhere, but the buildings just look haunted. It's really, really cool. There's voodoo shops all over the place. I mean, it's just really, really a great city. But it's also known as quite the party city, right?
Yes.
So this weekend happens to be the, you know, it's the end of summer brouhaha going on because, you know, Labor Day weekend is pretty much it for summer in most of the country. And thoughts, you know, start turning to, you know, chillier nights and, you know, leaves falling off of trees and then, of course, snow and ice. Well, so this being the last hurrah of summer, New Orleans is packed, absolutely, yeah. Completely packed, wall to wall, door to door, floor to ceiling, packed. And to that end, evidently, the New Orleans Police Department now has another piece of equipment in their arsenal to attempt to keep the streets safe from people like me. And that would be this. Right.
And girls lifting their shirts or whatever it may be, too. I mean, because that's a real threat, right?
Well, right. I mean, you certainly, you know, don't want, you know, to see mammaries flapping about in the breeze all the time. So what happens is... What?
That was really funny. Mammaries Slapping in the Breeze by Doug Semick.
Yes. So what happens is they're going to protect us from that, right? By they acquired this thing. I don't know exactly what it's called, but to me, I call it a mobile observation deck.
Okay.
And what it does is you evidently stick a police officer in there, and then you raise it up via a like a hydraulic system. And then there at the second story level, I look out on the crowd. And no, they don't throw beads down to people who are flashing or anything. They just look out on the crowd and look menacing.
Okay.
Unfortunately, where they chose to erect their mobile observation platform this year was directly outside my balcony window. Or my balcony. So I would step out on the balcony. Now, I paid a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
For the view, right? To have a Bourbon Street balcony. I wanted a balcony on Bourbon Street. I envisioned the throngs of people going back and forth and up and down the street. Because, you know, they close Bourbon Street at night. And people just wander and drink and party and dance, and if it rains, they stand out in the rain and spin. I mean, it's just really party city.
Mary Poppins?
And what?
It's the Mary Poppins? They spin in the rain?
Yes, kind of like that.
Okay.
You know, it brings back, you know, memories of Dick Van Dyke and all that. But no, it's absolutely insane. And I pictured sitting on the balcony, maybe with some beads or whatever to throw at people, at passersby, or maybe not, you know, depending on whether I feel generous or not, and just watching the people go back and forth and up and down and everything. But nope, not going to happen. Instead, I step out on my balcony and that I paid over the entire, like, 4 or 5 nights that we were supposed to be there. It was an extra $300 to have that balcony, right?
Okay.
I step out on my balcony, and I look at this flashing blue light, because this mobile observation platform has, you know, a flashing blue police light on it. Flashing blue light and mobile observation platform. That's what I see.
You're kidding.
And I'm like, okay, that was not worth $300 extra. And so my view of the perfect New Orleans Labor Day, you know, vacation was essentially ruined by the New Orleans Police Department.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't talk directly to the police. I talked to the hotel staff, and I said, you guys, this is not my idea of an ideal New Orleans, Labor Day, long weekend vacation that I've saved and saved and saved and scrimped and, you know, to have this wonderful vacation. And I you know, paid extra for the Bourbon Street balcony. I'm willing to pay extra for the Bourbon Street balcony, but I want to see Bourbon Street as part of it. And instead of a mobile observation deck, can you go talk to them? And they said, well, we tried that before.
So they have.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Then I'm checking out. So we checked out.
And they didn't give you a hard time about that?
Oh, they said that they would have to charge me $85 because, you know, like, I was checking out early. And I said, oh, well, you might as well, because this whole weekend has been nothing but disappointment, you know, with the view that I'm paying extra for, with all this, it just ruined my vacation. So you might as well go ahead and charge me, because nothing else has been fair. I didn't put that, you know, fair to me this weekend. I didn't put that mobile police observation platform out there, and I know you didn't either. But I just don't see how it's fair for my weekend to be ruined and then also charge me for a room that I'm not going to be in for a day.
Yeah, exactly.
So they did give me a hard time. At the end, he says, I'll waive that fee.
Oh, thank you, sir. Jeez, man. I mean,
I know.
That's unbelievable. We're really sorry to hear about your mishaps there on the trip, Doug. I mean, I know you'd like nothing better than to be sitting here in this cozy little studio with us right now.
Well, I heard something about Apple Crisp. We don't get this when I'm in studio. When I'm in studio, it's like, oh, do you want a raw carrot?
Well, the writer for Ghostly talks a little bit different than the writer for Scott and the Girls. Scott and the Girls do a lot more stuff. You know, I'm sorry, you're not in the club, Doug. Can't help you. And
definitely not.
When do you expect me back?
Man.
When do you expect me back?
Well, I have 884 miles to go.
And it sounds like
I will be back.
We were afraid this was going to happen.
Cut now. Yeah.
Hey, Doug, you sound like a robot. You still there?
Oh, yeah, that was breaking up, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Just hang.
I'm in the middle of Mississippi. We're in Mississippi. So
maybe the transmission from the KKK meetings messing you up or something like that.
Right.
All right, hang tight, will you, Doug? All right, just stay on the line. You still there, dude?
Yeah.
All right, well, just hang tight, because, yeah, you're really breaking up. We're going to cover a couple other things while you get out of your dead spot. Is that cool?
Excellent.
All right,
go right
cool.
Ahead.
Just hang tight, all right? All right, yeah. A couple things I wanted to cover.
I didn't do it. Don't point at me.
Point what? Oh, you think the KKK transmission or something?
No. You said, okay, and then you pointed at me. I didn't do it. Don't point at me.
Well, I was going to say something to you, but apparently you don't want to talk.
Okay,
piss
go
off.
Ahead.
No, I'm not going to say anything to you now. Whatever.
Then talk to Amber.
I don't want to talk to her either.
Really,
she's not giving us any Brown
anyway.
Betty or anything like that. So
yeah, Amber, what's dish this stuff out.
Yeah, what's going on here? We're hungry.
Do it for me. I love you. I love you too, Bonnie.
Oh, yeah, all this crap. She pulls this crap, and she gets food that way. A couple things, actually, I wanted to cover here. Let's see. We're going to, you know what? We'll do that next segment. We're going to talk to Bobby Tingle.
Yay, I love Bobby.
Bobby Tingle's going to, I think we'll do that next segment, though. Because I want to do a couple other things before that. But yeah, you know we talked about that UFC thing
mm-hmm.
last week? Well, Bobby had to email me about that. I need to help you with this. You need to understand this. So I said, okay. And I did it right before the show. I called and said, hey, you know, I'm going to call you sometime between 6 and 7. We'll mm-hmm. discuss this thing. So we'll do that here in a few minutes. One thing. Ooh, I got to mention this. You guys saw this already, right?
Yeah.
Let me explain this, okay? This past Monday, I went out and I decided to do like an 8-mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I've been like, yeah, you guys know I've been doing this like brutal like exercise plan,
right?
You know where you know not a nice little jog. I mean, I do like these like nearly 10-mile jaunts through the city, which is dangerous enough in its own right.
Right.
If you've watched the news lately here in Detroit, so I decided to go walk down to the post office where we have our PO box at, which is about a good 4.2 miles from the winery here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go through all the breezeways and the nice tree lines out of the winery into the city. And then you walk, you know, you take the, you know, the street down to
mm-hmm.
the post office. It's about 4.2 miles and then 4.2 back, so it's 8.4, actually 8.5 miles. So Monday is one of those days, kind of blah. Weather was kind of weird. I was waiting for it to get rained down. I was tired, you know, just one of those things, kind of down, right? So I get to the post office. I actually wanted to mail bills off, you know, because winery is expensive to pay for.
Right.
You're going to keep up on the bills there. And I wanted to check our P.O. box, and I hadn't checked it in a while. And I checked it, and I had a key. You know, you get the keys and stuff like that. Go to the big things and get your stuff. So I got this weird package in there. I'm like, great, here's the anthrax. Finally, you know, it is close to, you know.
It addressed specifically to me? Because the...
Well, it said ghostly talk. They're trying to take us all out.
The stuff is going to come directly to me, I think.
Well, if you've seen Inglourious Basterds, I think they had the idea that they were just going to try to, like, kill us all at one time. You know,
I haven't seen it.
Well,
but
anyway, out there, you understand what I'm talking about. So I'm like, well, I'm afraid to open this thing. So I get the scalpel out and close my eyes and slit open the open thing. And I pop it open, and guess what's in there, right?
Oh, Lord.
I got the Hot Wheels edition of The Gravedigger. Along with a really nice letter.
Okay.
Dear Scott L., I just wanted to send you a token of appreciation. Send a token of appreciation to you. I heard you talk about your love of monster trucks before and thought this would be perfect for you. My mom had worked for Mattel and left me some great Hot Wheels products. She passed away last year, and I just had to tell you that listening to you guys kept a bright spot in my day. I've listened to GT since I found you back in 02, and I've loved every show. Keep it up. Bless you all. Tell Doug and Bonnie I love them, too. Omit that part. Anyway, I'm a massage therapist, so if I ever meet Bonnie, we'll have to trade rubs.
Absolutely.
You all are awesome. Much love. Chase. And that was from a gentleman named Chase. I'm not going to give his full name out, but Chase from Texas. And I have to say, this was a real lift up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this really just kind of put an extra bounce to my step on the 4.2-mile jog back from the post office. So I have to say, Chase, thank you so much. And I have the Gravedigger toy here.
You're going to have to find it a very special home in studio.
Yeah, we're piling up around here. But you have my word, Chase, that this is going to be put in a very, very nice place here in our studio. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, especially in this past Monday. I was kind of having a drab day, you know, and this really picked me up,
and I
can't say thank you enough to that. So thank you, Chase. And as a matter of fact, the Gravedigger will go, Amber, right behind you in front of the cat there. We'll just stack the Gravedigger up right there. There we go. You got to lean it a little bit. There you go. There's the Gravedigger right there.
Amber, this isn't
really
reinventing
the wheel, honey. Yeah,
this is making it more dramatic
than it needs to be. There you go. So there's the Gravedigger.
I love you.
Thank you so much.
You.
As a matter of fact, put the letter behind there, too. We want to keep the letter also. Thank you, Chase, so much. I really can't tell you how much I appreciate that, especially because I got the toy. But Bonnie,
that was very cool.
Yeah, very cool. We got to mention this again, too. We got a few minutes here before we go to break. And as we know, girl number two here.
Yes.
Girl number one, girl number two, Ambrose. She's just finished up her book. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you thinking?
I'm leaving for a minute.
Are you going to get Brown Bay?
No.
What?
I've got to pee.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. No
Thank
problem.
You.
Go right ahead.
Why don't we just tell everyone?
You better hurry up. We're going to listen to you. I'm going to bring the mic in the bathroom. You guys want to listen to Bonnie pee on the air?
I think that would be hilarious.
How funny. Grab the mic, dude. We could hook up the condenser mic real quick. We could hook up the condenser mic real quick and just run into the bathroom. We could get really creepy.
We could do it like on different days. Measure the sound quality.
There's actually you know that record store we go to in Clawson every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm gonna really try to keep this omit any type of names. But one of the people that run that place years and years ago. I'm gonna take a shot of my coffee here. He got busted. We've known this guy for years. He got busted because his live-in girlfriend had like three kids. And he was putting cameras up all over the house and wasn't telling him.
Oh, that's creepy.
I know, man. And, I mean, we still know him and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he did something like that. He got into a lot of trouble.
Did he get in trouble with the cops?
Yeah, he got arrested. He almost had to go to jail. I mean, he had to pay out a ton of cash, you know, and bond or bail or whatever it was. But he got busted for that. So I don't know if that's the greatest idea. Oh, I don't think a microphone would be that bad, though. Just listening to Bonnie P.
I think that'd be kind of relaxing.
Doug's
like
back.
A waterfall.
Doug, you're back. Oh, he's not back. Doug, you're not back yet. You're still breaking up, man. Go back.
Whenever I try to talk, of course.
Go back to the corner, Doug. Put your dunce cap on. Anyways, another thing I wanted to mention here, too, was Amber, our illustrious co-host for Girl Number 2 here. I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to mention it every single week here. Her new book, Ghosts and Legends of Michigan's West Coast, is out. And, yeah, we promote a lot of books on here, but we're going to give this book special attention because, well, she's my girlfriend and deal with it. I don't really care, okay? And you're here to talk about this a little bit anyways. We'll talk more about this, I think, as the time, the hour progresses. But let's just... first thing, it's ready for orders, right? You have copies. The way we want to do this thing is you can get this thing where you can get it everywhere, right?
You can get it through Barnes & Noble. You can get it through Amazon. But when it comes to supporting local authors and people just starting out, it's always best to support directly because then they get to see all of the proceeds, cash, what have you, because otherwise... you get nothing because it has to get split up between Amazon and the bookseller and the distributor and all that stuff.
Yeah, we have posted up on the Ghostly Talk website, on the front page, it's like the latest news. We have the cover, the cover of her, of Amber's book up there, again, Ghosts and Legends of Michigan's West Coast is up there. If you click on the cover, it'll take you right to Amber's website, which is michiganstheotherside.com, take you to the order page to order the book. We want to see, if you're at a Barnes & Noble or whatever and you see the book and you want to pick it up, I mean, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we all really want to see it funnel towards Amber because she's the one that, she's actually... Now, the way this stuff works, let's give you the real deal on how this stuff works. I mean, you've got to buy books for yourself, correct?
Yeah, every author has to usually buy their own books unless they're Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
All the authors we run into at conferences, Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Yeah, Troy, all those people. Yeah, anybody.
They all purchase their own books to sell.
Yeah, so, I mean, even though we'd love to see you if you're at a bookstore or something like that and you happen to come across Amber's book, and you, hey, I'm going to buy it, we'll buy it, absolutely. But if you really, really want to get the book and you're thinking about it right now, let's go over to michiganstheotherside.com, or you can link to it right off the homepage at Ghostly Talk. We also have it in our merch section, too, on the Ghostly Talk website. If you scroll down, you see the picture of Paula, our illustrious Ghostly Talk t-shirt model. You can click on that picture, and it'll take you to another link that'll take you right to Amber's site, too. So we've got a couple ways you can get there right now. But check it out. I mean, it's a great book. It's already selling pretty good right now from what we've been keeping an eye on things, and the people are picking up copies. Definitely check that out. What do people have to look forward to by buying your book? What do they get, Amber, by getting your book?
Eternal life.
Okay, what else?
Wow, I got eternal life handed to me today.
Endless luck. I don't know. It's a fun read. I think if you like ghosts, especially if you live in Michigan, even if you don't live in Michigan, there's a lot of fun stories in there. Some scary, a lot of history. If you like history and hauntings, it's a lot of that.
We lost Doug completely.
Oh, no.
No, it's all right. Keep going.
No, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's a collection of legends and stories.
What was your inspiration for this book, Amber?
You.
Really, what was your inspiration for this book, Amber?
Okay, Bonnie.
Okay, all right.
That's more believable.
My inspiration, I've always wanted to do that, which is why I also started the website Michigan's Other Side, so we had a decent website on haunted places in Michigan, I got approached by the History Press to do it.
So when's your pilot coming out, too? When are you going to be on when's your TV show starting?
Well,
answer the question.
Well, ABC.
Answer the damn question.
ABC doesn't want me to announce that yet, so...
She's going to be on Oprah next week.
Yeah.
You're going to be on Oprah next week?
And Ellen.
Oh, you're kidding.
She's going to be part of Oprah's
book club.
I am going to
be on local news, which is fun.
Yeah.
Nerve-wracking.
Well, you're going to be doing a bunch of talks. We're all going to be going with you and stuff like that. You're going to come with us
until
library talks. So you're out there working it. I mean, you're out there going out there and talking to people. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're out there... not necessarily selling the book, but just, again, hey, this is stuff that's going on here in Michigan. And we always hear about it. I always get emails from people going, oh, yeah, so you know any Michigan ghost stories? I'm like, no. Well,
We just live here.
Well, yeah, it's so what? Yeah, there's the haunted rock over at Wormwood Tower.
We also don't ghost hunt in Michigan.
We don't do any of that. We do more ghost hunting outside of Michigan now, if we even get to ghost hunt anymore, because usually at these conferences, we're tied up doing stuff.
We're drinking.
Well, that's at nighttime. During the day,
we're still drinking
during the day. So, yeah, definitely check that out, though. You can get to it at michiganstheotherside.com to order the book. And that way, you're going right through Amber. You're going right through Michigan's Other Side. And, she can recoup the money she's put into this thing, more or less. Much like how Ghostly Talk does our stuff. We've paid for all of our merch in the past, what little stuff we have for stickers and buttons and T-shirts and whatnot, and we've probably failed miserably at recouping our money.
No, I'm sure we have.
There were a lot of nice people over the years that have bought something that has helped offset the cost, which that money even the money that we got back from that just pretty much went back into the show.
Right.
So that's how this stuff operates, and that's why we don't really, like, let anybody distribute any of our merchandise or anything like that. We do it all on our own, so the money comes back through us, and it goes back where it needs to go to, which is into the show, which has helped us buy equipment to run this show, many pieces of equipment to run this show, and make it a little bit better, hopefully, for you guys. And the same thing with Amber. She'll be able to get more books and get more books, and then she can get bigger than Stephen King.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she can take over the world and then kill Bill Gates off, and we can actually have a better planet to live on.
Sweet.
That's what the goal is right now. We're trying
to save
humanity.
That's a lot on your shoulders.
That sounds
girlfriend.
Good. I think I can do it.
We're trying to save
humanity.
Kind of
makes you sound like a superhero, doesn't it?
It does.
So there you go. You see, we're trying to save the world. You need to. This is important, people. We need to help Amber get her money back for these books. Right.
So I can eat.
So she can eat, because she's a starving artist, too.
She is real thin, too.
Have we
Girl pimped, needs a sandwich.
Have we shamelessly pimped this? She is.
She is. She's like a twig.
You are a twig, Amber. I'm officially at 55 pounds now.
Woo!
Officially. Officially. Now, that's my new weight. I'm trying to get down to now. The next point, I'll be 60 pounds, I think. When I give you guys a notification of that.
Sweet.
What else we got here? We only got a couple minutes before we get a break here. Yeah, we'll do the Bobby thing, I think, after we get back. We talked about Amber's book. What else is there to talk
about? Still waiting for our food.
We lost Doug completely. He's, like, off the map right now. What'd you say?
Still waiting for our food.
Yeah, where's our food at?
What, you guys want me to get on, like, a little outfit?
I need more coffee, too.
Oh, yes.
This coffee is damn fine, also, I have to say. We even warmed up in the microwave.
I would like you in a horror French... French maid's costume.
We got about a whoring
again.
You
to feed it
I do
to
have
me.
That little cop outfit that I wore when
that
I was
a
paranormal.
Hot cop outfit too.
I can serve you apple crisp in that.
That'd be hot. All right.
You want to try that?
Can you cuff me while you do it?
Yep.
Maybe whip me a time or two.
Yep. Sweet. All right.
Wow.
Good deal.
You just hit your head on the mic. Why did you just hit your head on the mic? Okay, Bonnie's out. Bonnie's down for the count now.
I'm
wonderful.
Okay.
You all right?
I'm okay.
Well, you got 30.
That just
you got 30 seconds.
Really, really funny.
You got 30 seconds, Bonnie. How was your weekend?
My weekend was really good. I hung out with friends last night and drank. And
did you take the edge off again, like you did last weekend or the weekend before?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You hung out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a TJ Hooker's play this past Thursday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was just yeah. That
I
got kind of goofy.
Those guys.
Well, they had a blow up doll, and they threw the blow up doll at me and Amber. And then they what's that song?
8675309. Yeah, and then they said Amber.
Have
a good time.
Yeah. So then all these like
and I've heard
like,
that.
And you know what? That's the only song that got any of those 12 people in the bar to turn their head. And they're like, who's Amber?
Well, yeah, there was about 12 guys in there and about 6 teeth. And they're like, who's Amber? And I'm sitting there like, Christ, don't raise your hand.
I raised my hand.
I'm gonna have to fight all these cowboys, and this is gonna suck.
And there were cowboys in there. They were sitting over by the big buck shooting game to like mark their territory. That's all I had to do that night was
let's
observe.
Not, yeah, you know, there's a couple interesting things about that we should know, but let's do it after the break though, okay? Because we have to hit the break here. But there was some funny stuff about that I should point out. So yeah, we'll take a break. We're gonna talk about the bar, and we're gonna talk about. I think we'll talk about. We gotta talk to Bobby too.
Mm-hmm.
On the line. We gotta get Doug back on the line too. That's gonna be. I think that's going to be a challenge.
I think at some point we may just give up on that.
Well, no, we'll keep working with them. We'll see what we can do. Well, let's go to break here. This is Scott and the Girls. I am Scott.
I'm girl one.
Girl number two.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a second language? The Moonsetta Stone method unlocks your natural ability to learn a language. Even if you've tried and failed with other methods, you'll be surprised how quickly you'll learn with our method. Have you ever wanted to learn how to speak, box, Well, with Moonsetta Stone, you can learn how to speak Box in a very short time. You learn naturally, with no translation or memorization. Engage interactively. Get money from people by learning how to pretend that you know what the Box is saying, and speak confidently. Act like you know what you're talking about, and have fun. It's always fun to rip people off, isn't it? Use the Moonsetta Stone method to rip people off. But don't take my word for it. Here's some testimonials.
I like to cheat on my boyfriend, but I always had trouble doing it and getting away with it. Ever since I've learned to speak Box with the Moonsetta Stone system, when my boyfriend asks me, "Have you been cheating on me?" I just tell him, "He falls for it. It works every time. Thank you, Moonsetta Stone. You helped me achieve my life goal, to be a whore. Thank you. I like to go around and steal people's wallets. Now that I know Box, whenever the cops catch me, I just tell them, they let me go. Suckers. Thanks, Moonsetta Stone. You've helped me rip people off and get away with it. That's cool. I've always wanted to learn a second language, but thought I was too damn dumb. But then I took the Moonsetta Stone system and used it to learn how to speak Box. My friends couldn't believe that I knew how to speak Box. So when we went to the restaurant, and I said, they were amazed. Then I went to the strip club and I told the stripper, and she said,
meet me in the back room. This one's on the house.
The Moonsetta Stone system worked for me. Now, I've got some rich friends that I know, and I'm going to use my second language, the Box, to get some money out of them. I'm just going to tell them. And then I'm going to use the money to start a magazine.
Yes, the Moonsetta Stone system will help you to speak the language of Box. Learn how to speak Box and rip people off and bully people better than you ever thought you could. Get the Moonsetta Stone Box system today.
We are going along in a previously before. Romance is a may have the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
Into a scene from Pulp Fiction, apparently. It's a good tune. I gotta mention the band, that song that you just heard on the break. It's by a band called Malignant Tumor. The song is called We Are the Metal! That was the name of the song. I thought it was really cool. I had to throw that out there. They're actually a really cool bunch of guys, and they were nice enough to let us use their music, so check them out. Really cool, kind of crust and roll kind of stuff. You know, fun music. Malignant Tumor. It's not MySpace.
I like the name.
Yeah, the name's hilarious. It really isn't. It doesn't encompass how great they really are. They're a really cool band, but they're on MySpace somewhere. Just look them up. We were talking about this the bar here thing we were at Thursday night, and we mentioned a couple of weird things. There was this one dude. You know this who I'm talking about, Amber. This one guy come walking. You can describe this very well, because you were, like, texting with Gowan all night about it, and, like, you made up your whole little story about this guy. So please fill us in on this.
Well, he's the one guy sitting by himself. He's got a little bag with him.
Well, explain what he looked like.
And he's got the mini mullet. No. Meaning the hair just kind of comes down on his neck.
It curls out.
He's
it kind of flushes out. The
he's
plumage
got
comes
real,
out.
You know, what are those, acid wash or whatever those are, jeans. Kind
stone
of
washed.
Stone wash it. High up on his waist, shirt tucked in, and he's got a seashell choker, which I'm going back and forth about Gowan, about this guy, and we kind of came to the conclusion that was probably the source of his power. In case he took over the bar, we would just have to disengage the seashell choker. And then, to top it all off, there's a burly woman working in the kitchen.
Built like a brick S-house.
Wearing a shirt that says, take one for the team. So I tell him,
no! I quit the team! I quit the team!
So I tell Gowan, you know, there's a lady here, you know, and I describe and tell the T-shirt, and he's like, get her number!
So, yeah.
Then I watched the mullet guy go back and forth to the Keno station a few times. He also, out of the bag he brought in, pulled out gas station burritos.
And he chowed down on them. No. We were wondering what he was eating. You know, we just finished our lovely barbecue dinner, you know, like a couple of snobs we are, you know, and then we went to the club to have a couple of cocktails and watch the TJ Hookers play, which they were great, but we enjoyed this little guy, and yeah, there were some other interesting characters running around there, and they just loved the blow-up doll. When they threw the blow-up doll at us, the whole place was like, oh my god, you guys are so, because I'm making the doll dance and stuff, and they thought I was hysterical. I was on stage. I might as well have been doing that show and not Tim and, James and FJ. It was interesting. Now, okay, so we had to get that out of the way. Now, on the line right now, Doug's back, obviously. Doug, you still there?
Yes, I am here.
We lost you for a few minutes there. You just totally, you went from bad to completely gone.
It was nasty there, but now I'm in Alabama, and they seem to have either better or more towers.
Oh, boy. That's ironic, as we're listening to him.
And I am so glad, because this half hour started out with an Amber story, and I love Amber stories.
Well, speaking of Amber, Bobby Tingle's on the line. I don't know how that's... Sorry.
What?
How did that segue? Crap segue.
That was horrible.
Garbage segue, but it worked, though, because we got him. He's here, right?
Right, yeah.
Last week, we were just talking about our weekend and stuff like that, and I explained that Amber and I went with my sister and my soon-to-be brother-in-law, Aaron, to the club, and they were having one of them UFC fights out there. And I kind of just did some serious people watching, and it just, you know, I've been noticing the whole the UFC fisticuff thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
These guys walking around, these brutes walking around, and there's the whole culture I'm seeing emerge.
So Bobby's going to explain the stupidity of it for us?
Well, no, Bobby just gave me a hard time about it. I mean, Bobby sent me a scathing email and said, when you come to Louisville, because Bobby's part of Louisville Ghost Hunters Society, and he's like, well, next time you come down here, I'm going to beat you like one of those guys. And I'm like, well, listen, Bobby,
I'll pay you for that.
I'm like, well, listen, Bobby, you know, there's no reason to get upset. Let's work this thing out. Let's give you some airtime so you can explain their side of this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry. Don't hurt me. So Bobby's here to explain to us, you know, this the UFC phenomenon. I don't even know how we're going to start with this, but Bobby, I'm going to give you the floor, though, to tell us what this is all about. Is that cool with you?
Cool.
All right. It's all you, dude. The floor is yours. Tell us how this thing works.
You just say, I do like the beating you put. That sounds fun.
What was that?
The beating on Scott Park would be fun.
I find it fabulous.
Well, what's up with the, I mean, what is this culture? I mean, you said you kind of understand how it works, so I'm really curious to understand this myself.
Yeah, I train with a guy here in town that I think he's now ranked number 3 in the region as an amateur UFC fighter.
Okay, so it was really wrong of me to complain about this in your presence then, right? Because you're going to
tell
him he's going to kill
me. No, not at all.
Okay. So
can I tell your friend? I love
you. There's a lot of guys out there that go watch YouTube.
Okay.
Because on YouTube there's every martial arts video you can imagine under the sun.
Yeah.
And they'll watch these things and head out in the backyard and try to kill each other, and then they'll go buy their tap-out shirts and their affliction shirts. And
yeah.
You know, it's a lot of what you described that you saw at the bar.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's...
So go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I can understand it's an art form, much like boxing. I mean, it really is an art form. I could never go into the ring with even the lowest ranking guy in the UFC, let's say. I could not even go in there and go one round with the guy. He'd beat me into a bloody pulp.
I don't think you could do
it
with Amber. But...
No, I couldn't. Okay, so I understand. I acknowledge that it's a total art form, and I'm cool with that. But yeah, it's this culture that I'm seeing, Bobby, and I think we're on the same page with this. Am I correct?
Yes, we are.
What is the mentality of this thing? I mean, how do you guys see this? I mean, the people that are involved with this stuff.
You know, the guys that actually go out and do it, go to the schools or the training camps or the gyms, you know, they're putting in a lot of hours, a lot of training time. I do it just for the fun of it. I have no intention of getting in a cage and fighting with anybody myself.
Yeah.
Except me.
But, well, I just want to wrestle with Bonnie.
So you guys train, though, obviously. I mean, this is it's a hobby for you, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hobby, and it's the best form of exercise that I know of.
Okay, going in there and wrestling and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I can only imagine
the heavy bag work, the running, all the drill work. It's killer exercise.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, as we know, Bobby's built like a brick S house too.
Yes, he is.
Bobby's just he's an animal. He's huge.
And he's hot.
Yeah, he's very hot. I mean, I have to agree, Bonnie. He's the first thing I do when I get to Louisville is grab his boobs.
Right.
I can't help myself. But there is this, again, I mean, there is this, I guess I'm right. That's what, I mean, I just want to understand this kind of, that there is this other side of it. It's kind of, I guess you call them the posers. They're posers,
yeah.
I guess. Where they go out and they kind of do a, you know, they go in their backyard, like you said, and then they, you know, maybe they beat up their grandma, and then they go out and buy their affliction shirt, right? And then they go out, you know, and I've seen these guys around, and it's kind of like, you know, what's this guy's deal? He's got this look like he wants to kill everybody, and he's wearing this tap-out shirt.
And that's how I look without a tap-out shirt.
Well, yeah, but he's got a bunch of tattoos all over, like freshly done tattoos, mind you, all over his arms. I mean, what's with all the tattooing, too? I'm just curious. You see these, this is like the professional thing, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
These guys got tattoos all over the places. I mean, I don't remember that. With professional boxing back in the day, I mean, most of these guys, they were pretty clean cut. They didn't really ever, but with the UFC things, it seems like these guys, I mean, they're really into tattooing. You noticed that, obviously, too, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
I mean, is there...
I'm not really sure where the whole tattooing thing got started.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just part of that age group culture also.
I think it may be.
It kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because, I mean...
And it's hot.
Well, for every, not everybody. Well, no, I've seen a lot. Well, I mean, we noticed that a lot. There's just every guy in there, it just seems like they're all marked up with tattoos all over the place and some crazy design. So when they take their shirt off, it's the most menacing thing you'll ever see. Like they got a big axe on their chest or something that's going to like scare the other guy, intimidate the other guy. I guess it's kind of a way of taunting the opponent, I guess that would be. I mean, so I can kind of understand that. But it's a sport, though. I agree with that. But I was curious to see what your thoughts were on that, Bobby, with these people, the posturing, preening alpha males that kind of walk around, and they especially go to the bars, and, you know, they watch these things. Because I saw a ton of them. Amber and I both saw a bunch of them, and it just kind of got under my skin. But I'm glad you were able to come here and kind of give us a little bit of insight into this, Bobby.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that are posing and posturing aren't real fighters, because the next time you're here, I can introduce you to some of the guys that are all real laid back like we are. You know, they're not out to prove anything.
Well, exactly. I think if you go into a ring and, you know, and if you work out as hard as some of these guys I've seen, I mean, you want to relax afterwards. You don't want to be, you know, on the clock all the time, I guess. You want to be kind of laid back and mellow. Why? I mean, it'd be stressful to be angry like that all the time, I guess.
That's not that bad.
I mean, we fight full contact 2 or 3 times a week, and that's enough. I don't need to go out, and these other guys I work out with or anybody else that really does it doesn't need to go out to a bar or the mall or wherever and get in a fist fight.
Do you guys actually hit each other when you're doing full contact? I mean, do you guys punch each other in the head and stuff? I mean, so you're taking shots.
We had gear on. You know, we got headgear, gloves, mouthpieces, foot pads and shin pads. But it still hurts.
Oh, I can imagine. But you're full contact, though, so this is no joke. You guys are really in there hitting each other.
Yeah. If I want to train with them, I have to. You know, it's not half in and half out. I've got to do everything.
Well, as any good training program should be. I mean, you can't have...
Should never be half in and half out.
Depends on how long it is, doesn't it?
Well, speaking of half in and half out...
Where's Doug?
Hey, Doug, are you there, dude? Did we lose Doug again? We may have lost Doug. Doug, are you there? Doug... Well, Doug's completely out. I think we totally lost Doug. We'll have to get him here on the break. Well, speaking of half in and half out, though, Bobby, the Mid-South Paranormal Convention's coming up also. Let's take a second to talk about this thing. When's this going to be happening, Bobby?
It's going to be November 13th through the 15th.
And now, I've been hearing, I don't know if you guys can, I'm not trying to put you on the spot either. Do you guys have a location? I mean, I'm pretty sure you do already. But I've heard a couple of things.
That one is getting finalized.
Okay, so it's going to be that's going to be kind of released pretty soon here, but it's November 13th to the 15th, and it's our yearly jaunt. You know, it's usually done this month. I mean, usually September, but they moved the date forward to November, which, you know, we're kind of light in November anyway, so I'm kind of glad we're going to be out on the road in November.
That's the only thing we got.
Yeah, it's the only thing we got. Well, October's going to destroy us this year, and then September we're going to be doing the Mid-South. So.
October, we never used to have anything.
Yeah, October we used to just kind of have fun, and now we're like three weekends out of the month we're on the road now. So, but we're looking forward to that for sure, Bobby, and I appreciate you coming on here and giving us a hand with the whole UFC thing. I have a better understanding of this thing now.
Anytime, brother.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. I'm going to drop the line here, and I don't know what we're going to do. Well, you know what? Stay on the line. Don't leave. Stay here. You mind hanging out?
No problem.
Because we're going to run our mouths about some other things, and you might have some real interesting input that we would... Well, we never have any good input.
Right.
You're probably going to have some good
suck.
Input. So there you go. I think, again, I think Doug is... He's, like, totally sitting out right now. I think he's... Where the heck's he at?
Well, he was worried that... You know, if he wasn't on the line, we were going to talk smack about him, so...
Well, you know what? We got a good solid 10 minutes to work with here.
I tried to do it while he was on the line,
but
we lost
him again. Let's play a game here. Let's find out what the most irritating thing about Doug is on the show.
I'm going to have to go with his inability to know how to use the telephone.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not on the show.
Oh, on the show.
It's on the show tonight, right?
What's that, Bobby?
He said it's on the show for tonight. He can't use the phone.
No, well, his phone is beyond his control, though. We'll give him a pass for that. We really shouldn't do this. I'm just while we're just kidding around, I'm not going to give...
Oh,
Doug's
come on.
Doug's our family.
That
he's our
so
bro.
So much fun.
Well, my biggest gripe for both you morons is that I love this. Yeah, so, yeah, you guys ready for the... Well, what's going on here? We have a schedule, you morons!
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about both you and Doug. I hate you both. Hey, shake your head.
I don't care. I love
I am the board master. I'll find both you idiots
me,
out.
So I don't care.
No, we're just kidding. I don't want to... I can't think of anything funny to make fun of him about right now.
No, me
because I mean, Doug's really the man, and we all know that. And he, you know, we love him to death. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that. But when he comes back, we'll just tell him he can't hear anything right now. So when he comes back, we're gonna go, dude, you took a pounding. Bobby Tingle just ripped you to shreds.
Yeah, we're gonna blame it all
on
Bobby.
The air, man. I can't believe what happened there.
I like this plan. I like it a lot.
Throw me under the bus.
Yeah, well,
it's only because I love you, Bobby.
And I appreciate it. I respect it.
I thought you would.
Are you guys married? Well, I appreciate you and respect you.
No,
well, we would
actually,
never be married and say that.
Bobby and I have, like, the perfect marriage. We like each other when we're around each other, and then he goes home to his wife, and I go to whoever I want to.
Exactly.
Speaking of going to whoever you want to, guess who I saw on Tuesday?
Who?
Motorhead.
Okay.
As we know, Lemmy.
I thought you were like, "Whoo, gonna take that somewhere."
No. I'm trying to do as many horrible segues as I can.
I thought maybe
segment.
They were having like a march of my
no motor,
lovers in
Motorhead.
Or
Motorhead
something.
Played at the casino, the Motor City Casino
right.
here in Detroit, with the Reverend Horton Heat.
Really?
And another band called Nashville P Word, which is a really cool band, but I'm not gonna say that. That's pushing it a little bit for this medium we're doing here. Missed the first band. Well, here, I got to tell you, Bobby, you got to hear this, too. I got to tell you what happened before the show. I did my usual thing, and I went and helped, you know, by the way, Dad L, he got his cast off this week, too.
Yay!
He got his cast off, and he's feeling better, and he's actually, his hand's moving a little. He's still got to go to therapy and all that
right.
stuff, but he got the cast. He's like, man, I feel like I've had a shower, finally.
Honest.
But, yeah, he got his cast off on Wednesday. But Tuesday this week, I went over there and mowed the yard, did my usual thing to take care of the house there. And I'm like, and I kept going back and forth because, you know, Amber wasn't here, and she's usually my concert buddy. A few people I called about going to the show were like, I can't afford it. Because, you know, as we know, everybody's broke here. Mm-hmm. So it was like $23, though. It was actually pretty cheap.
Wow.
If you went to the box office, if you went through Ticketmaster, it would be like $90.
Right.
So that's why I just went to the box office. So I did my thing, and I kept going back and forth. I'm like, am I going to go? Do I want to go up? I'm like, well, I'm going to have to go by myself. But I really want to see Motorhead. I don't ever miss Motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, screw it. I'm just going to go by myself. I don't care. I do a lot of stuff on my own nowadays. I mean, you know, just going out walking or going to the library. I do a lot of stuff by myself. It don't bother me. Like, Amber can't do that. She has to have a chaperone everywhere she goes.
You're not?
You always say that. I'm like, why don't you go down there? Just go there and hang on. I can't know where to go with. And I'm like, why? Just go by yourself.
Okay, would you want me to go to downtown Detroit to go see a band by myself?
That's a completely different situation, and I would not allow that. You're
now,
right.
If I want to go shopping or the bookstore, I go by myself. I don't enjoy eating by myself because
that's
an event better had with someone else. So I would get it to go and go sit home. I don't want to sit in a restaurant by myself.
No, I go to restaurants all the time myself. It don't bother me any. I mean, I always end up, somebody who knows the show comes up to me and sits down and says, hey, you're Scott L. And,
sure.
Because as you know, when you walk down the street and you're part of Ghostly Talk, people just come up to you all the time.
Yeah, I get hounded.
Yeah, ask for autographs. So, I mean, I always find somebody to hang out with anyways when I go to a restaurant. They know the show and stuff like that. So I decided to screw it. I'm just going to go by myself. And, you know, I might bump into somebody, who knows. You know, it'll be cool regardless. I can go there and enjoy the show. So I haven't been to the Motor City Casino in so long. Now, on my way down there, I stopped at one of the random gas stations right by my folks' house, to get the usual arsenal of what you need to go to a Motorhead show, which is namely cigarettes. You
right.
have to have cigarettes when you go to a Motorhead show. Everybody who listens to Motorhead smokes. That's just the way it's one of those things, because Lemmy smokes, right? And we all want to be Lemmy.
And you got to be cool.
You got to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's doing it. Straight up peer pressure.
Right.
So as I'm coming out of the gas station, there's a crack whore. I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to.
Not unexpected.
I am not going to sugarcoat this at all. There's a crack whore standing next to my car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the usual, you know, 14-inch long ash hanging off the cigarette.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The twitching, the shuddering, and really skinny with the boobs down to her belly button thing with the tube top thing going. I mean, it just was creepy
dressed
all around.
Like a...
Yeah, it was ugly. And she's like, hey, can you give me a ride? And I'm like, no. hey, you're not going nowhere near the interior of my car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm trying to get my car, and she keeps getting, okay, just back away, okay. And she's like, could you at least call a cab for me? And I'm like, all right, I'll call a cab for you. I'm thinking, like, what, two minutes, you know, it's going to take you to do that. Well, I end up going through five different cab companies to find one that'll come out to where we're at to pick her up. And I finally get one. I'm like, can you please get this crazy B-word? Just, you know, I need to get out of here. I'm trying to go sit to a concert. The guy's like, oh, yeah, no problem at all. We'll come pick her up. So I'm like, they're on their way. I'm out of here, right? The whole time I'm doing this, she keeps getting closer and closer. And I keep backing away. You know, we started at my door, the driver's side door. And we wound up around the front of the car somehow. Because I kept backing up from her. So I finally, I'm like, okay, cool. Problem solved. I'm out of here. Shoot down to Detroit. Get down to the club. Pay for my ticket. Walk in. I mean, and sure enough, not 2 seconds, there's the Reverend Toby. Remember the Reverend Toby? Hey, what's up? And he's like, come on over. I'm like, I just came by myself, man. He's like, oh, dude, no, you're not going to be by yourself. You come and hang out. So I'm hanging out with those guys all night. It was great. My phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
And I answer it. And it's like, you know, so-and-so cab company. I'm like, did you call my phone? He's like, yeah, you're the dude that had that crazy lady. You said that the crazy lady, she needed a ride. I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, we got there, and she was there, but she was with some dude, and she said that you never called the cab company.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? I go, you talked to me. He's like, yeah, I know, I talked to you. He's like, but she said that you never called her, and that, you know, never mind. I'm like, well, sir, you know, I called her. I go, look, all I was trying to do, I ended up explaining, I'm like, look, I was going to see Motorhead, you know. I'm like, I'm going to a concert. I stopped there to get a pack of smokes. That's what you do when you go see Motorhead.
Right.
And I go out there, there's this crack whore with my car. And she wouldn't leave me alone. And I was just trying to help her. He's like, yeah. He's like, that's no problem. I'm like, well, I'm really sorry you wasted a trip out there, man. He's like, no, big deal. He's like, I just didn't know what was going on, so I figured I'd give you a call back. I'm like,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like, so what I figured is that some other dude fell for her shtick, and she promised, you know, a little, you know, a little of that or whatever, and he said, okay, I'll give you a ride, you know, and God knows he's probably at the clinic right now. So I'm like, well, I'm very sorry to the cab driver guy.
Getting his shots.
But it was a great show, man. Motorhead was awesome. They were really great, it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, that was kind of our week, you know, the kind of the stuff that happened here, and Bobby was here, and we got to get Doug back on the line somehow. Real quick, before we go to break here, we obviously, like we said at the beginning of the show, this is going to be kind of like a 9/11 themed show. We kind of always, we do this. Both guests we have here tonight are going to be both talking about this issue. But it's coming up in a couple of days, and we always like to discuss this. And I know I, for one, am one of those people that still question what happened that day and that whole situation. And we're going to be discussing that tonight, along with honoring the memory of these people who passed away, the firefighters and the people in the building, and anybody who was involved, as we know, any of the innocent victims of this tragedy that happened 9/11?
2001.
So we're talking 7 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
7 years ago this happened. I mean, it's one of those things I know you and I and Amber and Bobby, I know you, we can probably remember exactly what we were doing.
Exactly.
What we were doing. It's just one of those situations. So let's go to break here, and we'll get Paul Cross on the phone. We're going to be talking to him about severe visibility. Bobby, thank you for joining us again. Hang on the line.
Love you.
Yeah, don't leave us just yet. Just
love you, Bonnie.
But thank you also, Bobby. Hang tight. Yeah, we're going to go to break here. This is Scott and the Girls. I am Scott.
I'm girl number one. Girl number two.
We'll be right back after this.